Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gubika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brinda Vinishwari Vrishabhana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Dhrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Today's verse is the first of chapter 8, which is entitled, Attaining the Supreme. Please repeat, Arjuna Vacha. Kim tad brahma kim adyatmam kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidevam kim uchate arjuna vacha Kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidevam kim uchate arjuna vacha kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam Kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidevam kim uchate arjuna vacha kim tad brahma kim atma adhyatmam kim karma purushottamam Adibhutam cha kim proktam Adidevam kim uchate Okay, please repeat word for word. Arjuna vacha. Arjuna said. Kim. What. Tat. That. Brahma. Brahman. Kim. What. Adyatmam. The self. Kim, what, karma, fruitive activities, purushota uttama, O Supreme Person, adibhutam, the material manifestation,
the material
manifestation.
Cha
and
kim,
what
proktam
is called
Adidevam,
the demigods. Kim,
what
Uchite
is called.
Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Please repeat, Arjuna inquired.
Arjuna inquired,
O my Lord,
O my God,
O Supreme Person,
O Supreme,
what is Brahman?
What is Brahman?
What is the Self?
What is the Self?
What are fruitive activities?
What are fruitive activities?
What is this material manifestation?
What is this material manifestation?
And what are the demigods?
What are the demigods?
Please explain this to me. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. In this chapter, Lord Krishna answers different questions from Arjuna, beginning with, what is Brahman? The Lord also explains karma, fruitive activities, devotional service and yoga principles, and devotional service in its pure form. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Supreme Absolute Truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. In addition, the living entity, the individual soul, is also called Brahman. Arjuna also inquires about Atma, which refers to body, soul and mind. According to the Vedic dictionary, Atma refers to mind, soul, body and senses also. Arjuna has addressed the Supreme Lord as Purushottama, Supreme Person, which means that he was putting these questions not simply to a friend, but to the Supreme Person, knowing him to be the Supreme Authority, able to give definitive answers. Mukam karochi vachalam bhangam laite girin yad kripa tamaham vande sri guru dinatarinam. Arjuna vacha, kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidevam kim uchyate. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. So, yes, five things here. Don't look at the book. What are the five questions?
What is this material manifestation?
Well, what's number one? What is Brahman? I can look.
What is the Self?
Good. Karma. Right? So we have the Brahman, the Self, work, material manifestation, and demigods. Again? Don't look at the book. First one. Brahman. Second one?
Self.
Third one, Mark. You came late. Huh? Karma. And fourth one? Material manifestation and demigods. So it's kind of progression, isn't it? If you look at it, Supreme, Brahman, then the individual Self, then his work, and where is he working? Material, and who is supervising the material manifestation? The demigods. So if we learn these five things, or the three modes of material nature, the five coverings of the soul, so on, that's very helpful. That is bhajan. One who studies this conversation worships me with his intelligence. So this question, of course, carries on from the previous chapter. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to to be the governing principle of the material manifestation and of the demigods and all methods of sacrifice can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. So if we look earlier, then you will find, yes, karma and so many references. So of course, you're all familiar, you're devotees, you know these things, but the details are very fascinating. And so Arjuna is bringing out, Arjuna is bringing this out for all of us, these five important things. Because as we were discussing in the Bhagavatam class, there's four Bhaktivinoda Thakur Jiva Dharma, a book everyone should read, every serious devotee, recommended by Prabhupada. He says that the anarthas that are divided into four. Does anyone remember what the first one is? Bhakti Gyan Vina. Not knowing Siddhanta. Not knowing Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of relationships. Not knowing Abhideya Gyan, how to execute devotional service. And not knowing Prayojan Tattva, what the goal is, what the necessity is. So if you don't have that knowledge, you haven't overcome anartha. Generally we think anartha means no meat eating, no gambling, such and such, four regulative principles. But it's not codified that way. They are the result of lack of knowledge. The basic fault that keeps us in the material world is a lack of knowledge. Therefore we chant, remember the beginning of the verse, the Gita, we chant, Om Agyana Timarandasya. The spiritual master opens the eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So this is the basic anartha. We're in ignorance, we're ignoring the factual situation of this world, this creation. We don't know. So therefore we're speculating about this, what is the best thing to do, and then we become entangled. So, and then the second one, now I'll give you a test on these four at the end of the class. What's the result of not having spiritual knowledge? That's the next section of anartha. How to execute. That's not an anartha. But if we don't know Krishna, right? What does bhakti gyan or gyan means? Being able to see the spiritual world and being able to see the material world for what they are. There's that verse in the Ishupanishad, avidyam cha avidyam tadbayo tayas, that I think it's number 11. Only that person who knows the material world and the spiritual world, how they are working, how they are creating, only that person, the Upanishad says, can transcend the influence of the material nature and attain the blessings of immortality. So therefore, knowledge is the most important thing at the beginning of devotional service. Of course, knowledge cannot take us the whole way. We have so much knowledge. Knowledge is a guide, but ultimately devotional service is a matter of sincerity. Like we were saying, you must be desiring, you must have lolam, intense eagerness. You must have lobha, you must want to acquire more Krishna consciousness. So if we don't have jnana though, if we don't know what is good for us, then we will what? If we don't know the spiritual world, at least theoretically, to some extent, that theory will turn into practical realization. If we don't know the spirit, what will happen? Yes, we'll speculate, but then what will we do? Yes, but why? Because instead of hankering for the spiritual world, what will we? We'll hanker for the material world, because we will hanker one way or the other. Right? So that second anartha is there. The result of lack of spiritual knowledge is the asat trishna. Asat trishna, hankering for the asat, the non-eternal. Whereas if we have bhakti jnana, we will think, oh, that's eternal life. I mean, you're all devotees, so you know. Krishna is there, spiritual world. I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada some weeks back, and one thing struck me. He said that in the spiritual world, there's no need of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. There's no need. In this material world, we're hankering for that. We want to eat. We're driven to eat. Oh, I'm so hungry. I went to Delhi the other day, and they didn't give us a packed lunch after the seminar. So the driver was saying, oh, oh, I'm so hungry. So I gave him some apples that they'd give. Anyway, so we're driven by hunger, eating, sleeping, right? We have to sleep. We want sex life. And then we want to defend. But in the spiritual world, these things are there. They enjoy prasadam, so on and so forth. But there's no, they're different aspects of leela. Huh? Radha and Krishna, they rest together. It's just a different rasa. If you read your Jiva Dharma, this is all nicely expounded. So this material world is not leela, we're driven, right? In the morning we have to get up, shower, 6 hours at night, sleep. If we don't eat, we start to shake, so on and so forth. So if we have a vision of the spiritual world, then we think, we see the material world in relationship, and we think, oh, that's better. Param drisvani navartate. And then we will give up hankering for the material world. We'll yuktahara viharasya, right? We will eat in a disciplined way. We will sleep in a disciplined way. We'll have children in a disciplined way, so on, so forth. But if we don't have knowledge, perception of the spiritual world, then we will, because we are desiring activity, especially in the material world, we'll desire those things that are for the body, for the Atma. So therefore, and then the third anartha, give me time to think while I ask you, asat trishta, and then, yes. So what, if you get some taste for Krishna consciousness, how can you lose it? Huh? Offenses, yes. Aparad. So aparad goes in four, Bhaktivinoda explains. Vaishnava aparad to other devotees. Seva aparad, serving the deity. Dharma aparad and Nama aparad. So of course we always have some aparad. So we shouldn't be neurotic thinking I've got to become perfect by some posture. So there's three types of name. That's Sudanam, Namabhas and Namaparad. Right? They're also explained very nicely, chapter 21, 22, 23 in Jiva Dharma. So we want Shuddhanam, because Shuddhanam will give us bhava, will give us prem, will give us swarup. So what's the difference between aparadnam and namabhas? Aparad means that we're making offenses, but we're not concerned with clearing the offenses. Namabhas means the semblance of the name is there, and because we're not perfect in consciousness and practice, we are making mistakes. We're making mistakes in how we worship, we're not doing this right. But that's not so important. If the intention is to purify, just like the husband comes home and the dinner is not cooked properly, but the wife says, "Oh, I'm sorry, okay, I'll still eat." So Krishna accepts namabhas. But namaparad means deliberate. We're using the material, we're using the spiritual world, the name, or we're using the Vaishnavas, we're using the Dharma for material purposes, we're using. Now it's very interesting that in the Manashiksha, the commentary, I think that's by Raghunath Das Babaji, Raghunath Das, he wrote Manashiksha, it means instructions to the mind. So it's 8 verses, very good book to read. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a commentary on that, and at the beginning he says, "I offer my obeisances to the Dharma, to the residents of the Dharma, the Brahmins and the Brajvasis." He explains that. And in the purport, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains what those personalities actually are. The Brahmins are those people who actually know the Brahman, the Supreme. And the Brijabhasis, he gives a very interesting definition. He says a Brijabhasi, he doesn't say somebody who's popped out of the womb. Of course, that's very fortunate. But he says a Brijabhasi is somebody living in Vraj with the intention of pure devotion. He's living in Vrindavan for the purpose of attaining Shuddha Bhakti. It's a very interesting definition. And it excludes a lot of people that you might bump into on the street. But we don't want to be fault finders, but we want to tell people, yes, you're a Brajabhasi, but you must bring that to perfection, right? The birth is something, but you have to learn to walk. And then you have to learn to dance. So, Dharma, Aparad, all those four things. What are those four things? First one? Any four? Not pit. Huh? Huh? Nama Aparad? Dharma Aparad? Seva Aparad? Vaishnava Aparad. So we should learn those, and we should try to avoid it, that's all. But of course, we should be tolerant if those things are performed against us, or we shouldn't become, "Oh, I can't do it." We should try and attain, but we should be patient with our own self. And then the fourth division of anatha is... yes. We may know the process, we know the aparad, we know we may not be hankering for material things, but... It's called, actually, Bhaktivinoda called Hridabalyam. It means weakness of the heart. The heart. It means you're not fired up. You understand? You take it all lightly. That's why I say, knowledge is one thing, but you must have the application. Gyan and then practice. So, these are very important to understand. And because if we have that knowledge, then the result will be that we will realize Brahman. We will realize Brahman. Because the anathas, right? Vajana Kriya, Anathanu Vritti, and then we become Nishta. Right? We become steady in devotion. And then we can follow regulative principles. We become absorbed. What's that verse in the fourth chapter? The devotee, his attention is within. His goal is within. He's active within. He becomes antirmukh, not bahir. He's not a satrishta looking to the material world. to Dhanam Janam Sundarim. He's looking, he's loilam, he's lobta, he wants spirit. Because he's getting, he's steady, and then what does he get?
Taste.
Huh? Yes, ruchi. And particularly, he get nam ruchi, right? So just like, comes to the same thing, lobta or loilam. What is that verse by Rupa Goswami? It says, I wish I had millions of ears, millions of tongues. Huh? So if we're getting a little taste, we should think, I'm getting a little taste now, but we should be greedy for more. Right? And how do you get more taste? More chanting. Yes, that's right. So especially on Ekadashi, sometimes I hear class people say, Prabhupada said 4 regulative principles and 16 rounds. But is that correct? Minimum 16 rounds. It says in the Shastra, Mahaprabhu there, it's in the CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you chant a certain level, number, you should not go down. 16 is the beginning. So, especially on festival days, Ekadashi, they're considered the mother of devotion. So if you increase your chanting on those days, then you'll get a good boost. And then you get more Nam Ruchi. So you should always be pushing for more Nam Ruchi. Because Nam, Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada, he writes, I remember one essay, he says, in Kali Yuga, Bhakti is chanting. That's what he says. He says, this is your chant. Because when you chant, you hear, you also meditate on Krishna, you serve Krishna, you perform deity worship, you perform prayer, is contained within chanting, you become Dasya, Sakya, Atmanivedanam. Progressive. And then, the more you surrender, the more you realize Brahman. So Prabhupada says, what's the Brahman? He answers that, the first one of our questions. Kim Brahman? So there is three things, right? From the Vedanti Tat Vidas Tattvam Yajnanam Avyayam. Those who know Vidas Tattvam, the absolute truth, know that he's in three phases. Prameti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sabyate. But what should we add to that? Because Krishna, you read that in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, has two kinds of expansions. First, do you know? Anybody know? No. Types of categories of expansion. Swangsa and Vibhinangsa. Swangsa means swa-angsa, own part. So Baladev is the Purusha expansion. And then Srimati Radharani is the Shakti expansion. And she expands as the Astashakis, the Headmunjaris, Purnamasi. Who is Purnamasi in Krishna Leela? Yogamaya. She is the overall orchestrator. Who is Brindadevi in Krishna Leela? We're singing the song every morning. She is a choreographer of what section of Braj Leela? Yugala. Huh? We're singing. Let me become your maidservant. She is the Yogamaya department, if you like, of Madhurya Ras. She is Brindadevi. She is supervising Radha and Krishna's loving affairs. Yogamaya is in charge of all the rasas. Brindadevi is specifically Madhurya. She has two parrots, the pets of Radha and Krishna. Sukha is the pet of and his flock? No, Krishna. And Sarika is the parrot of Radharani, and they have a flock. And they carry messages for Vrindadevi. So these are all swangsa, these are all expansions. But then the vibhinangsa, vibhin means separated parts. That's who? That's you and me. Unless you happen to be a swangsa. Please put your hand up if you are. If you are direct expansion on the Purusha side or the Shakti side. But we are vibhinangsa. Separated in what way? Because Krishna is everything, Krishna is everywhere. He's Brahman. So, we are separated in what way? What does it mean?
We are not thinking him. We are removed from him.
Well, not removed, because that's why I say Krishna is everywhere. And we're in his creation, and he is present everywhere by Brahman, Paramatma, in the material world. So, right? Vibhinansaka, independent will. Right? He has given us free will, if you like. Touch of Kriya Shakti. Because Baladeva is in charge of Sat. Who's in charge of Chit? Vasudev, Sat Chit. Ananda, who's the deity of Ananda, Ladini Shakti, Sri Radha. But Kriya Shakti means to do. So Krishna ultimately is the architect of everything. But we also have a touch of that Kriya Shakti because we're Ansa. But our Kriya Shakti is subordinate to his Kriya Shakti. We can act independently within his creation. So he is Satchidananda Vigraha. Vigraha means form and personality. Just like fire. Fire is the first of the material manifestation to manifest. It has four elements. People often say, oh, heat and light. Right? Heat is what? Light is sat. It's the first thing you can see of light. Then you get closer. Chit means it starts to affect. Yes, it means heat. But then it also has. How can you see something? It must have form. So that is like Srimati Radharani, if you like, Ladini Shakti. But then what does fire do? Is it standing there? It has activity. So that is Krishna. Four phases. First you see light, then you feel the heat, then you see the shape of the fire more distinctly, then you see its activity. So the activity, if you like, you can extrapolate. The form of the fire, the Ladini, is stimulated by the activity. Activity and form are very closely interacted. So, we are also Brahman, therefore, we are the also Brahman. So there is Paramatma, Bhagavan, and Brahman, and I mean Bhagavan, and there's also Vibhinangsa. We are also Brahman, we are the same quality. So we are also conscious, we are also eternal, we also have a touch of Ladini, but it's very much suppressed by the material energy. And we also have free activity, you see, so we're also Brahman. So that is Brahman. What is the next one?
Self.
Yes. So this is in particular reference to the material manifestation, because Krishna, though he's revealing knowledge of the Absolute, previous chapter, he's revealing, he's talking in relationship to the material energy. We just discussed some items, Vrindadevi Yogmaya, right? So if you really want to understand how the spiritual world is, Read your 10th canto and read your later chapters in Jiva Dharma, because there it's all very elaborately expounded. Like I said at the beginning, if you must understand spiritual world, and then you'll become attracted. If you're not, then you'll asatrishta. You'll hanker for the material things, because your mind is not purified. It's not meditating on the transcendence. So, the self, like that previous verse, what is it? Those in full consciousness, me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and all methods of sacrifice, reference to karma, can understand me and know me even at the time of death. So that's very similar to that Ishupanishad verse. That if you understand how the material world is governed by Krishna and how your senses are under the modes, under the control of Krishna. So how are the senses? The Atma is, Prabhupada in the purport says four things, right? There's the soul, then there's the mind, and there's the body, and the body is the senses, right? It manifests the senses, to seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching. They manifest especially in the face. So, yes, so they're the self. Now there's a very interesting point on this, or description, in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. After the Brahma Vimohan Leela, you know that famous verse, Stane Shrutikatan Tanuvamanobe. Just stay in your situation, Stane, here. But Lord Brahma also says, in later on in his prayers, in the 14th chapter, he says, in this world, he explains, that he also adds another section of Atma to the self. He says the self is also embodied, like in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, manasa deho geho griha. It means the extensions of the senses, the house, the land, the bank balance, the black money inside the pillow. Now Narendra's coming for the gold out of it. Yeah, so. Anyway, they're the self. We think, that's mine, that's me. Like somebody's driving his tum-tum. Somebody hits it on, you've hit me, what have you done? The self, the extensions of the senses. So Lord Brahma says, those things are very dear. But more dear is the body. You know, it's one thing to hit my tum-tum, I'll be upset. But if you break my leg instead of the wheels of the tum-tum, I'll be more upset. Right? But then more dear to the living entity than the body is the mind. The mind. Right? Therefore, if someone beats you at chess, it's really, he thinks he's smarter than me. You feel it more, you know, he's outwitted me. Right? So that's like more of an insult. If you say to somebody, oh, you don't look so good, but you'll say, ah, you're a fool, I'm beautiful. My mother tells me that every morning. But if you say to that guy, you're stupid, right? You're a dimwit. So if you insult the mind or the intelligence, that's more dear than the body. Right? And then, so Lord Brahma says that self is more dear than the external, the body and the paraphernalia. But then more dear than that is the soul, right? And the soul is manifest within the consciousness, or the mind in this case, as a sense of identity, right? So therefore, if we are materially attached, say we think I'm an Indian, and somebody says India is a rubbish place, or I think I'm an American, and say, oh, America's a real dump, or if somebody says I'm from Hawaii, and you say, oh, Hawaii, it's all hopeless there, then you attacking more closely the identity, huh? Now within that sense of identity is the ultimate identity. And this Prabhupada always pointed out as a way to understand our eternality. And that is, we know I'm the same person now that I was when I was a small child. Right? I have the same sense of being. Even though all the material paraphernalia, the body, the situation, it's all changed, but I know I'm the same person. So that deepest sense of self, the soul, that is most dear. But then more dear than that is the Supreme Self, of which we are part. But we're in ignorance of that, you see. That comes back. We don't have Siddhanta. We don't have knowledge. So therefore our sense of self stops with this identity. And we think, compared to me, I'm perfect. You understand? Right? Look in the mirror and say, compared to me, there's nothing wrong. I'm a perfect manifestation of myself. So, our sense of identity stops. But if we understand the Supreme Self, Krishna, and we understand and we identify with Krishna as his angsa, and we identify all living entities as his angsa, then we become Vaishnav. You understand? Then we go from Mayavad sense of self or impersonalism and we become Vaishnav, because we realize that I am the part and parcel of Krishna. My real self is Krishna, and I am the angsa. Just like the finger, I am the angsa of Krishna. The finger is the part of me. And then we realize I have eternal relationship with Krishna. Krishna is Mata, Pita, Pitamaha, he says in the Gita, right? I am Mother. That's also a reference to Durga Devi. I am also Pita, Lord Brahma, Pitamaha, Lord Brahma. I'm also Shiva, I'm everything. So everything is Krishna. We are the self, we are, our ultimate self is Krishna. So Vaishnavism means to recognize our real self, supreme self is Krishna. Then we, and when we meditate in that way, we find identity with the supreme self. And we feel very much safe, because Krishna, just like the father and the mother, they take care of the child as their own self, even better than their own self. Krishna, he is ready to do anything for his devotee particularly. So self, what's the next one?
Material.
Huh? Material manifestation. Yes. So, you're all devotees, you know that the material manifestation has a gross aspect and a subtle aspect. The subtle aspect acts upon the consciousness, the three modes, and the gross aspect is the material elements. There's 20 gross material elements. What are they? There's the five knowledge-acquiring senses, the five working senses, the five gross elements, and the five subtle elements that the gross senses attach to. And then the subtle elements are the mind, intelligence, and false ego. How is false ego destroyed? Huh? Yes, but also particularly comes back to the first thing. We have a false idea of the self, false ego, false atma. How do you get rid of the false idea? By the first two. I'm Brahman. What is myself? I'm Krishna. Then, and who is controlling the ahankara? Husband of Durga Devi, who manifests the gross element?
Shiva.
Lord Shiva. So, we go from under the control of Shiva to Krishna by Jnana. And Durga then becomes the devotee of the devotee. She offers mukti, she offers, like we see in the case of Prabhupada, offered so many facilities to Prabhupada. So this is understanding of the material manifestation in short. And so how we withdraw from the material manifestation by putting our consciousness on the Supreme Self. Simple as that. Krishna consciousness. And then when the consciousness, because we are non-different from the Supreme Self, when our consciousness is on the Supreme Self, we naturally realize the Supreme Self. Right? And then when we realize the Supreme Self, we become Brahman realized, Paramatma realized, Bhagavan realized. We realize the Leela of Krishna. We progressively withdraw from the material manifestation. So, what is that? Is three, four?
Four.
So number five is? Yeah, Adidevam. So, yes. So that's the point. Lord Shiva and Lord Durga, Durga Devi, they are the, if you like, the god and goddess of the material energy. Right? Durga Devi supervises our karma phal and so on. Oh, there's another word. What is karma? Yeah, karma, fruitive activities, yeah, the self. So karma means, very interesting, the definition is there. Karma. So in this material world we're performing activity, so karma, Krishna gives the best, he's very intelligent, Krishna, he knows what he's talking about. So karma is action pertaining to the development of another material body. Right? So some, you know, it's entering the world vocabulary now. Like when I was a small boy, we never heard of karma. But now people talk about karma all over the world. You know, that's bad karma, Prabhu. It means action, reaction. But actually, karma has four basic, can be put into five divisions. Karma means work that brings another material body. So there is karma. Karma action. So we should know scientifically, not the common parlance, the common idea that's in material society. We should understand that karma, actually in Vedic definition, it's one of the divisions of karma, and that is the duty you have according to your material body. Right? If you're a father, you have a duty. If you are a Kshatriya type, you have a duty. If you're a Brahminical type, you have a duty. So karma means your work and duty. So in the Gita, Krishna says, Anya Klesho Adhikarascha, you have a right to perform your work, Arjuna, but you don't have a right to the result. So he's saying that you perform your work, Arjuna, but give the result in tyag, offer it to the Supreme. Don't be attached to the result. Don't be motivated by materialism. So that is karma. And then there is vikarma. Vikarma means to perform activities against your duty. Like later on, in the Krishna says, better to perform your duty imperfectly, Arjuna, than to perform another person's duty perfectly. That means, you don't want to be a Kshatriya, you want to go to the forest and meditate and renounce? No, right now you should perform your duty. Do that even imperfectly on the battlefield. Better to do that than to do somebody. So vikarma means to do things against your duty, as given to you guna karma according to the qualities you have attained because of your previous work. So vikarma means that person. And then akarma means what? Akarma means not to do your duty. Right? Not to do things against you, but just like to say, I'm not going to look after me kids. That's akarma. Leave the kid alone. Right? Or if you're a guru and you don't train your disciples, that's akarma. You're not doing your duty. But also Prabhupada says, akarma is for the devotee. And that means that he's performing activities, but he doesn't have a material fruit. And then the other last one is nice karma. It means activities that produce no material result. That like bhakti, sudha bhakti, produces no material result. It frees you rather from maya. So these are the divisions of karma. And then material manifestation we've done, and then the demigods. So we're talking about the expansions of Brahman. So on the Purusha side, Balaram expands as the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Iruda, and they supervise the thinking, feeling, willing and activity of the spiritual world. Everything rests upon Krishna. So each one of those expansions supervise the thinking, feeling, willing, and activity. Those four. And then Shankarshan expands down into the second Chaturvyuha, and that Chaturvyuha, they supervise or facilitate the thinking, feeling, willing, and activity, respectively, of the Vibhinangsa who are entangled in the material world. And then that Shankarshan expands as Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu expands as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and maintains the material creation, Virat Rupa. And then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu expands as Shiradakshaya Vishnu, centered on the milk ocean, and then he expands into the heart of all living entities. And through that expansion, he empowers, because Vishnu doesn't touch the material manifestation. He is transcendental. So the description given in the Shastra, that the Adidevam, the Devam, the Devatas, they are the extended limbs of the Supreme Lord, particularly as Paramatma. So just in the same way that I'm a soul inside this body, so, but I am empowering, if you like, my hands, my voice, my brain, my legs. So similarly, Paramatma, he empowers the demigods. And he empowers Indra to be the king of heaven. He employs Lord Brahma as the mode of passion. He empowers Lord Shiva. How does Lord Shiva manifest? Manifest from Brahma gets angry. Why? Huh? Yeah, from the forehead. Why does he get angry? Yes, the Kumara said, we don't want to be Prajapatis. We're not even going to allow our bodies to become past the stage of puberty. We're going to stay little boys, so we could never be Prajapatis. So we're going. So then Brahma gets, and then Shiva. Of course, Shiva has his eternal existence. This is how he's manifesting. He also manifests as the glance of Mahavishnu. Yes, he glances the embodiment of the material energy, Durga Devi, and that is the lingam and the yoni. Right? That is the glance of Mahavishnu, which is Lord Shiva, and the yoni, the womb of the material nature. And then that, all the parts of the material manifestation cascade out in that way. And all the devas, how many demigods are there mentioned? 33 million. Now you might think, wow, that's a lot, but it's not a lot. If you think this is how many civil servants in India, most of them sitting in the office. There's millions, I'm sure, right? To look after a billion people. So you just think, there's Satyalok, huh? Mahalok, Gyanalok, Tapalok, Swargalok, Bhulok, Bhumandala. Then there's Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, Mahatala, Patala. There's the 14 worlds. And there's all these different arrangements, and only 33 million. Because this is Vaishnavism. You see, impersonalism means there's laws of the universe, but there's nobody supervising them. You understand? But there's laws, even in India. Laws of the road, laws of the tax department, right? So laws don't exist separate from a maintainer or a creator, right? But impersonalism is, oh, the universe, and we're trying to find the laws of the universe, the speed of light, the speed. No, but what about the creator of this? What about the maintainer? So Vayu, who's that? He's creating the wind. Agni is supervising throughout the universe. And he's empowered by Paramatma, by Vishnu. He's got the Shakti. Brahma gets the Shakti to, from? Yeah, he meditates on his source. What's the source? So this is the ultimate conception, or the primary conception, the starting conception of the Supreme. He's the source of all the demigods, all the material energy. He's the source. Just like if you meet somebody, what do you say to them? Where you come from? Right? It's a natural question, isn't it? Where do you come from? Where do you, I come from Hawaii. Huh? What's your source? But the real source of everything is Krishna. So we're really inquiring for Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate source of the demigods. He's empowering them. They're ruling the manifestation of the material world. He's supervising everything as Upadrista, Overseer, Anumanta, Pamita. He's seeing everything, how it all interrelates. It's all resting upon him. The demigods have got this power. The self, he's observing the self as Paramatma. Just as like it says here in the previous verse. Those in full consciousness of me who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation. He's governing ultimately through his extended limbs. Just like this body, in a sense, is my extended limbs into the material world. So the demigods are carrying the Shakti, just like this body is carrying my prana. What is prana? Prana is the energy generated by the soul in contact with matter, through the consciousness. That is prana. So they get so much energy from Paramatma. And I'm the of the demigods, I'm the governor, I'm giving them the Shakti, I'm guiding them. And all methods of sacrifice, karma, ultimately karma is meant to be an offering. And then you can know Krishna even at the time of death. So if we understand all this, and it's not that difficult, is it? According to Shastra, it's all very clear. Then we can meditate upon the source. Just like at the Vedanta Sutra, what's the first? Atato Brahmajignas, and then the next one is Janmadi Asyata. Now inquire into Brahman, the Supreme. What is the Supreme? And what's the first definition Vedavyas gives? Janmadi Asyata. I'm that from which everything emanates. I'm the source. And then that's the first verse also of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra expansion. And then the end of the first verse is Param Satyam Dhimahi. So therefore, we should meditate on the source. And that's what everyone is looking for, right? Even the atheists, they're trying to find the source. What? How did it all begin? Where has it all come from? Come from? What's the source? Just like you walk up to Gangotri, you see the source of the Ganga. Of course it goes up to the top of Meru, and then it's coming down, it's in four branches. So, that is the Param Satyam Dhimahi, what is my source? And therefore the Gayatri Mantra, Ombur, beyond that, all these manifestations is the source. I meditate upon that source and that enlightens me. Huh? And that's what Lord Brahma did. And then the second verse of Bhagavatam says, how will you get realization? Paramonyamacharanam satam. When you realize, if you can meditate on the source without matsarya, without sense of rebellion, with acceptance, myself is yourself is myself. You are Suridam Sarvabhutarnam. You are the source of me. You see, the son may be angry with his source, his father, but he can never give up his father. After some time he realizes, oh, I should respect my father. So material life is that. We reject the supremacy of our father. We wander in the material world and then we think, I'm crazy. My father is my well-wisher. He's created me, even in the material sense. He brought me up. He gave me cough syrup when I was coughing, so on and so forth. He's caring for me. How I can be rebellious. And so, paramonimacharanam satam. And so when we become non-envious, then Krishna just reveals himself more and more. And so everyone in the spiritual world and the material world who is non-envious, that is the difference. The material world, everyone is envious, rebellious. They don't like other people. It's hard to make friends with them. They're very short-tempered. In the spiritual world, everyone is non-envious. Parabhonimacharanam. We went to see Lalita Shakhi's place. Dinabandhu was reading some shastra about Lalita Devi after we had darshan on her appearance day. Lalita Gram, it's called? Uchagram. Yes. So, he was reading one thing and it struck me. He was reading that if somebody comes forward and just gives a little service to Radharani in the Dham, then Lalita Devi, who is the guru of Radharani, she's always telling Radharani, don't talk to Krishna, he's not a good person. And then he's always, so he's chastising Krishna, treat my Radharani properly. So she's left-wing gopi, she's got a spirit. Vishakha is very soft, ready to listen and forgive. But Lalita Devi is very attentive that Radharani is treated properly. This is Leela. But if you just do a little service to Radha and Krishna, to the Dham, then Lalita Shakhi immediately says, oh, look, Radha, she completely non-envious. Understand? Completely welcoming to any little service. So Lalita Devi, she recommends to Radharani, oh, look at this person doing such nice service, selling the books in Krishna Balaram, in the Krishna's Marathon. Very nice. Serving the prasad. You see? Non-envious, always looking the good side. So, that is the spiritual world. Everyone is non-envious. They're all satisfied, Atmaram. The material world, everyone's a bit of a, who's this guy? He wants to take my black money away. Making me queue up at the ATM. So, what am I going to do if I can't sleep on a pillow full of black money? It's not black money anyway, it's colored. Look, those 1,000 notes are red. So, in this world, everyone is grasping at straws and angry. But in the spiritual world, because everyone is non-envious, it's a place of ecstasy, prem bhav. So, that's how we attain the Supreme. And how do we get a taste for that? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, any question? Yeah.
You say Krishna is the source of everything. So, how about the demons? From where they're getting the source?
Oh, they're getting from Krishna. Krishna is facilitating the demons. Just like he's, like say you want to rob the bank. So Krishna in the heart will say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Conscience, right? You have conscience. Oh, it's not good. Well, I'll do it at night. So then you insist, and Krishna will give you intelligence to rob the bank. But he has two functions, like I said in the class. Upadrista as Paramatma, he's overseer, he sees everything. And then Anumanta, he gives sanction. Anumanta means following his decision. So he gives sanction. So he may not give sanction. You may try to rob the bank, but then you see something that stops you. Like that. So everything is resting on Krishna. He's trying to advise us as conscience. That's the form of direction of Paramatma. He's trying to say, don't do that, do this, don't you know this. But he's not imposing himself. You see, huh? Yeah. But
how are they killing the cows?
Well, it's sanctioning. It's sanctioning. But then they're going to hell for it. And just like, for example, this is important to understand this, that when Putana, you know, she was a Rakshasi. She was in a previous life the daughter of Shukracharya. No, Bali Maharaj, that's right, sorry. And when she saw Vamanadeva, she said, oh, what a beautiful boy, I'd like a boy like that. But then when Vamana took everything from her father, she said, I want to kill him. So Krishna brought out the Vatsalya Bhav. But anyway, she was killing. She was killing many babies, children. But she was killing the demoniac people. She was killing the demoniac children. So yes, some of those, but this doesn't justify it. But if somebody is slaughtering the cow, in the previous life that cow is somehow karmically involved in the slaughter. You see, in the material world we have this concept, especially nowadays because no one knows the self, that oh, everyone's just born innocent, right? Isn't it? But actually we come with a karmic load. And therefore some babies are born, you know, crippled. Some are very beautiful. Some are smart, some are not. It's a karma. So, everything is woven together. We should know the laws of karma, and we should know what we should do and not do. We shouldn't, you know, that is the Mayavadi idea, just be detached. No, the Vaishnavas say that's bad activity, you see, because that stops the bad karma. So we don't say, oh, let the war happen, because it's only karma. We say, no, stop the karma by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So we're proactive. We don't say, oh, just let it happen, it's all karma. You see? Because we can't see You know, just like you get some noodles or spaghetti, it's all woven in. You can't see where the karma and this reaction is. Karma's being created all the time, how it's woven in, the reaction. But the thing is, you're supposed to what? Cut the knot with the sword of
knowledge.
Yes. So therefore Krishna says, Mame, come to me alone, you surrender. And this cuts the karmic knot. So we don't say, we don't take a detached idea, voidist idea. Oh, go to the forest and meditate. We say, no. We want to purify the universe. Yes.
I was searching in the Gita whether the Krishna Premvani is there or not. But actually I could not find any. Krishna Prem.
You don't think Arjuna has Prem for Krishna?
Huh? And in the, among the slokas of Lord Krishna, he has not used the word Krishna Prem anywhere. But I
but
found in study.
So you found a defect in the Gita.
Is it true or I am illusion?
Well, Arjuna has prema for Krishna. Has love. Just because the word may not be there, it doesn't mean to say. Krishna prema is there within the heart of all living entities. And it's awoken by Shravanadi, hearing and chanting, etc.
Now what I am searching, one literature is to be created. What is the instruction of the Lord to create Krishna Prem early? In that angle I was searching the Gita. But you are, or any alternative of that was not found. If you can say, if you can...
Well, you're looking for a tree but missing the forest. Yes, your question.
You said in the beginning, there's no sleep, no...
Sorry?
No, you're not eating anything in the spiritual world, no eating, no sleeping.
But well, no, I didn't say that. No, there's no necessity. These are just different... Yeah, you can... Like, that's where how they break people, right? If they capture a spy, they just keep him up. Right. Keep him up at night and he goes crazy after 3 days.
Prabhu, so much swimming means what happens to that?
Huh?
Guru Maharaj.
Sorry? Excuse me?
Guru Maharaj.
Yeah?
Give me 5 minutes.
Yes. The directions to attain prema are there. Mame kam sharanam vraja. Surrender to Krishna, then you'll get your prema. Yeah. Yes. Yes, manmana, pratijani priyosi me. You're priya, you're dear to me. 12th chapter, right? Starting chapter 4, text number 14, I think. That's a good point. Right? One who is non-envious, right? Krishna gives the different ways to engage. Then he begins chapter 13 and 14. One who is not envious, but a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, free from false ego, who is equal in happiness, distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-control, engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. There's Krishna's praying for his devotee. He by whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised, happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. So prema isn't one-way street. Krishna loves his devotee. Yes, your question? Ah, that's it.
I was thinking, what happens to so much milk from the surabhi cows?
What happens to the milk?
When nobody eats anything.
Well, well, we should go. You should go there and check it all out. And make sure they don't waste it. And give some suggestion.
Yes.
Well, you can you can milk the cow unlimitedly. It doesn't mean to say you just milk it for the fun of it and put it on the floor. It'll give as much milk and this and that. You see, we have to get a vision of the spiritual world, you see. But there's no wastage. It's not like, you know, the material world. Yes.
In chanting names, do we get experience, spiritual experience?
Yes. You don't find so? Krishna is non-different from his name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name is like Chintamani. You know it? Chintamani stone, the philosopher's stone, you touch it, turns iron to gold. That would be nice. Maybe Narendra would come after it. But anyway, so the holy name transforms the material consciousness. And then you realize it, that this name is Rasa Vigraha. It's the form of rasa. Krishna is the embodiment of all rasa. So through the name in Kali Yuga, we realize the transcendent reality. That is the mission of Mahaprabhu. He gives Namo Mahavadan, he gives the Krishna prema through the Krishna name. But it should be chanted with correct understanding. There's the SKO tape, you know that tape? Prabhupada says, if you're a Mayavadi thinking I'm going to merge into the Supreme, you can chant for 1,000,000 years and never get Krishna prema. So the Krishna the name is like Krishna. He'll give you what you want. If you chant the name so that your prema awakens, then that will happen. You understand? The yetam mam prapadyante. As people approach the name will give benediction. So we go to the name, we chant the name at the beginning through Vaidhi, avoiding this, gathering knowledge, so that our prema will awaken. And then you'll get all the prema you want, guaranteed by Lord Nityananda. Translation, Mahap Dadu? Translation? Give us a translation. No, you give the translation. You've given the nice verse. Anapita. No, you tell. Who wants to tell the translation? Yeah, through the holy name, it's like the sun. When it arises in the heart, dissipates darkness, and then Krishna prema awakens, you see everything. Okay, we'll finish at this point. Thank you all very much for your kind attention.